The story of Palm Sunday is featured in all four Gospels. The story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem with the humble beast, the shouting crowd, the branches, the coats and cloaks spread on the road. The story has center stage in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. You may or may not know this, but making the cut in all four Gospels, it's a big biblical deal. Christmas didn't make it into all four Gospels. Two of the Gospels make no mention of the pregnant Mary, or angels singing, or shepherds abiding, or a star, or wise men, or a babe in the manger. Christmas only makes the cut in two Gospels. The Lord's Prayer didn't make it into all four Gospels. The prayer that Jesus taught his followers, the prayer the church has recited for more than two millennia, the prayer recited alike in Kenyan huts and European basilicas, the prayer recited and shared by Catholic and Orthodox, Protestant and Pentecostal, Jesus' own prayer only made the cut in two Gospels. The parable of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the prodigal son, they appear in but one Gospel. The Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor. These only make it into two Gospels. But Palm Sunday, the Palm Sunday story, the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, this story has pride of place in all four Gospels. Which makes me wonder if we've had something wrong all along. You see, all along, Christians have regarded Pentecost as the beginning of the church, the church's birthday, the day the church was born in wind and in fire. But I wonder if Palm Sunday isn't the church's real birthday. You see, this is the day the followers of Jesus step out onto the world stage, stepped out in earnest, and assumed their roles as players and protagonists in the kingdom of God. You see, until this moment, until this day, until this parade, the followers of Jesus had been just that, followers. They had traipsed after Jesus all over Palestine. When he argued with the civil and religious officials, they watched tense and riveted. When he defended a prostitute, they gasped. When he conversed in public with a woman from Samaria, they winced. When he defied the Sabbath laws, they cringed. When he declared that the last shall be first and the first last and the rich shall be poor, they glanced around guardedly to see who was listening. And when he kissed lepers and healed those of broken body, they whispered together in fascinated awe. Until this moment, until right now, the followers of Jesus, they had been just that, followers. But on Palm Sunday, a shift occurs, a transformation begins, and the shift, it's seismic. So let's set the scene. The ancient city of Jerusalem, during the annual Passover festival, is a whole lot like Boston at the time of the Boston Marathon. The city swells with visitors from all over the world. Every possible room is rented at a premium. Grocers have stocked their shelves to capacity. The weather has turned and everyone is out of doors. The sidewalks are swollen with pedestrians. The visitors and pilgrims are readily identifiable by their clothing and their manners and the snippets of foreign languages you hear. And also by the extra bags hanging off their shoulders and the way they meander around the streets looking and pointing, and they're in no hurry at all. Merchants sell their wares, exotic foods, trinkets, souvenirs, on street corners and in public squares. And musicians and street performers gather knots of people who gape and laugh and applaud. The atmosphere sizzles. It's as if the whole exotic world has arrived at Jerusalem and expectation is in the air. And to keep the peace, there are soldiers everywhere, on every corner, helmeted, armed, armor gleaming, some astride noble steeds, others on foot. They patrol the streets, looking at everything, in pairs of two. And as Jesus and his paltry band of followers, as they enter the city, the soldiers gather to investigate the fuss. Steeds snorting, armor gleaming, swords flashing, and this, crests on their helmets and on their armor, crest bearing Caesar's proud and commanding image. And it is against this display of power and authority, against and in defiance of it, that the followers of Jesus stage a street drama, announcing with their drama that their hearts, their allegiance, their fealty belong not to Caesar, not to the Emperor of Rome, not to that pretender God. Their hearts, their allegiance, their fealty, they belong to Jesus, Prince of Peace. On the streets of Jerusalem, in front of God and Rome and everybody, they announce and proclaim that they will not do homage to the Pax Romana, the uneasy peace achieved and held by force. They will do homage to Pax Christi, a peace to which we are all invited, but never coerced. A peace which emanates from the very heart of God, a peace that passes all human understanding, a kind of peace with which the world is not that familiar. This is the day the followers of Jesus shout in public that they belong to God and not to Caesar, which in their case, nothing less than an act of sedition. So for the past 3 years, from the day Jesus called them from their fishing nets, until this moment, until this day, the commitment to follow Jesus for each of them, it had been personal. It had been intimate and private. But today, this day, today on Palm Sunday, the commitment to follow Jesus, it becomes public and it becomes political. Palm Sunday has pride of place in all four Gospels because this is the day the followers of Jesus become leaders in their own right. This is the day the church distances itself from the state and from all worldly forms of coercive power. This is the day the church takes up and wields our own kind of power, unearthly power, heavenly power, love of enemies, that kind of power, forgiveness of sinners, that kind of power, grace, even to the unworthy, that kind of power, mercy, mercy even for the guilty, that kind of power. Welcome to the stranger. Welcome to the immigrant. Welcome to the alien. That kind of power. Turning the other cheek after you've been hit. That kind of power. And this, freely, generously, feeding the hungry because they are hungry. And this, healing those who are broken in body or mind or in spirit just because they are broken. It was on Palm Sunday, and it was against and in defiance of empire that the followers of Jesus took their stand with the Prince of Peace. I submit that Palm Sunday has pride of place in all four Gospels because it was on this day that the church was born, not in wind, not in fire, but in courage and in conviction, in compassion and in mercy. So I invite forward now, Chris and Brandy and Sharon and Charles, come on up. I invite you forward now with Deb Leonard, our senior deacon, and Hillary and Heather and Tessa. And Tessa, bring your baptism sponsors. These people are joining this church today on this Palm Sunday. They come forward now that the church may be born and reborn, that the church may today, on this Palm Sunday, re-find its voice and take its stand, and that together with them, all of us will again make our pledge of allegiance, not to empire, but to Jesus, Prince of Peace.